CliffCentral.com.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Bonjour, jambo, aloha, and welcome to the Fashion Lab show. My name is Liz Ogumba-Regis, for your host, and thank you for tuning in to Fashion Lab once again. Now, on today's show, we're talking everything around fashion, from a social commerce, e-commerce, m-commerce, whatever commerce you want to call it. We've got some really special guests who are going to be joining us to kind of have these conversations with the masters themselves. And I think the most important thing is to just kind of talk also about what role is actually playing or intends to play within this fashion space. Now, our world today is so much different from our previous generations. With the invention of internet and everything happening so fast online, long are definitely the days when people shop around 3-4 stores with a total distance of a few kilometers, deciding on what products to buy. Now, these days, all considerations are done online before we even make it to the physical store, and most of the products are actually just a few clicks away from us. Now, the term e-commerce or web store have obviously also been on the market for a while, but m-commerce, which I came across this morning, and mobile shopping apps and ETC, all of these others are quite new. But, you know, this is where we are. We've got to keep up with this evolution that's moving so quick. Now, the bottom line for me anyway, and I think for most of you who are within the fashion business space, especially here in the continent, is how to convert today's browsers into tomorrow's buyers. Now, according to Simicart, an m-commerce blog that I came across, for those who need some insight on what m-commerce, e-commerce, what is all about. The difference between m-commerce and e-commerce, according to Simicart, is when any sort of commercial transaction is transacted with the use of cellular devices, that is when you call it m-commerce. And then in e-commerce, the use of internet is compulsory, but in the case of m-commerce, the use of internet is not compulsory. So the connectivity of m-commerce is comparatively larger than e-commerce, because guess why? Because the world is on mobile. So here we go again. I'm not going to be the one to give you your whole e-commerce, m-commerce 101. We actually just want to talk about how it integrates into the business behind fashion, because that's definitely what I care about and what we care about at Fashion Lab. Now, before we plug in our special guests, we're joined by our New York partner, Edgy Benson, who runs NU New York, a fashion services company based in New York, sourcing services to fashion designers across the world. Edgy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I am good. It's beautiful in New York.
It's beautiful.
The weather is amazing.
It's beautiful in Johannesburg as well. What are you wearing and who made your clothes? How about that? Today is a different twist, right? Not just what's inspiring the look, you know?
Today, I'm wearing two of my favorite men's clothes, makes. I'm wearing Rag & Bone shawl collar cardigan, because although it's bright outside, it's still a little cold inside.
Yes.
And guess that these are skinny jeans. Mm-hmm. I know you hate me saying that every day.
No, it's all right. Actually, it's all right. I left you alone. I'm not even going to argue. Just go ahead. Like I said, I'll be saying what you're wearing sometimes if we continue like this. But, you know, go ahead. We'll let you
fly. I do live in diesel jeans.
Who made your clothes, Edgy? That's the new question these days for us to be a bit more conscious. Who made your clothes?
Rag & Bone and Diesel.
Where? Let's get straight to the point.
I would just say Rag & Bone and Diesel, because they can make it anywhere.
Edgy, this topic is for another day. I think, let me go back to why we're here, because you just opened a whole new kind of worms, and you know how I do it. I'm going to really plug this one, but this is a topic for another week, I think, in June, not May. Don't spoil my May. But anyway, I also want to welcome to the show, Edgy. It's good to have you. I also want to introduce another, I'm going to introduce her as a guest, but she's definitely someone who will be contributing and sharing some of her insights from her market. Now, we're joined by fashion expert / designer and product developer at Mario Batista. She's hailing all the way from Lisbon. She goes by the name of Francisca Marzili, and she's going to be contributing to Fashion Lab Africa to share her insights with us when it comes to what it is that's going on within the fashion market. Now, Francisca, for those of you who don't know, I'm just going to give you a quick background. She's from management of the entire production process of some of the biggest brands to analyzing product trends for every season, specifically in Milano and Paris. She's definitely competent in selection of textiles, yarns, accessories, purchase of ready-to-wear products. She negotiates prices for big budgets and has been in this game for over 25 years. If you don't know what time it is, get your Coca-Cola. Because this is how it's going down. Now, some of her achievements around moving brands across borders include 2012, where she opened a multi-brand boutique in Angola, Luanda, with the brands Brioni and Versace, and later Tom Ford and Ferragamo and Valentino. In 2012, she also created the brand portfolio that runs two shops in Luanda and is on the verge of setting up more. 2013 was another multi-brand in Maputo with Armani, Ferragamo, Versace, Zegna. So, guys, we're talking to someone who knows what she's talking about. But, Francisca, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us.
Hello. Hello, Liz.
How are you?
Hello, Edgy. How
Hi.
Are you?
I'm fine, Francisca. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Here the weather is grey.
Oh,
how can I do?
Okay, so now we want to know what you're wearing. I hope it's on the contrary. But what are you wearing and who made your clothes?
Today I wear a diesel jeans.
did you guys have a meeting
I got
before?
Ready for this transmission. I cannot wear all black. So, so this time I'm wearing sneakers. An ill addicted like me with sneakers, it's a big event, I would say. And Nike sneakers, a diesel jean, a skinny, and a jacket and a t-shirt.
Are you feeling fabulous?
I do.
Okay, so that's what matters.
Especially
here. Yes, that's what
now
matters.
We need to know what Liz is wearing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said that's what matters. Thank you for asking me what I'm wearing. I'm wearing today a beautiful black and white checkered tweed dress. It's a little tiny little risque dress, but I've got some beautiful stockings and some beautiful black and white. I'm really on black and white. I'm doing this black and white thing with a beautiful sort of tassel beaded earrings that's about 10 inches long, if you know how I hold it down with the earrings. But I think I'm just feeling fabulous, and I feel like I could be walking into a Vogue shoot after this. So I'm not feeling like you, Francisca, and in no way am I feeling like Edgy. You guys feel like you're about to just sit and lounge for the day or hustle hard for the day.
I want to see a picture of your earring. Oh, please post
well,
it.
Well, we will post something just now. We'll post something.
Liz.
Yes.
Liz, you got me a tweet.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to let anyone change the vibes and the flow of this show. So I'm going to take it back from you and from Francisca. And I'm going to, for those who are tuning in for the first time, this is the Fashion Lab. This is where we dissect the business behind fashion in Africa. And a quick reminder to those of you who are tuned in, I've got my favorite segment at the end of the show called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So think about who you want to dress and why. It's called our red glass of wine. It's not a virtually a red glass of wine and glasses, but it is that time to wind down. Now, keep your tweets coming. We're at Fashion Lab AF. We are on Instagram and Facebook at Fashion Lab Africa and Twitter at Fashion Lab AF. We'd love to hear your thoughts around these interesting conversations. So, yes, hit us up. Otherwise, allow me to just go straight into the matters at hand. I want to introduce our special guests today. They literally came in as a mob squad. I don't even know what to do, but we are full in the studio today. So we are joined by founder and CEO of FYI Online, Christopher Augustine, and the rest of the FYI Online team. Now, FYI Online is a digital, creative, influential agency that connects brands to people, people to brands. In addition, they offer social media management, digital marketing, graphic design. I've watched this platform transform and grow so fast. We actually had Christopher last year talking social commerce and just touching a bit. And I've really seen a serious evolution. I want to talk about the outreach, the impact they're creating in this creative industry, in a few minutes, but let's just allow us to also introduce this special guest. So welcome to the show, Christopher.
Hello, how are you?
I am good. How are you? And what are you wearing? And who made your clothes?
I think people in the factory probably made my clothes.
It's not a joke. Guys, don't let me pull out my whip. I've got a whip in the back.
Okay, I'm wearing a Zara jacket by Zara, pants Zara, and my shoes are from Brazil. It's like a very awesome designer that makes like very comfortable loafers, and my top is Caporal all the way from Spain, so really decked out today, name brands.
It's beautiful.
Welcome.
He looks
Austin.
Beautiful. Welcome to the show. I'm going to send a picture on Twitter, actually, what Chris is wearing. And then, Bianca, welcome to the show as well.
Thank you.
And what are you wearing and who made your clothes?
I'm wearing that I'm a newly mom, so I'm wearing anything that doesn't have drool on it. So, I'm just wearing a black dress, stockings. Same with you, rocking the stockings today. Probably Woolworths cashmere sweater, gray, and just a little black dress. Always a winner.
Very nice. I love the black and white. Let's keep it going in here, and I think it's power to us.
Of course.
Now, I want to move over to Ridwan, who's also joining us in studio today. Ridwan, you look very casual and laid back. What are you wearing? And who made your clothes?
Well, Liz, because I'm a fashion designer myself, I managed to come through here today wearing one of my bespoke jackets. And it's, Edgy, I think you're going to like this one. It's a tweed jacket with quilt sleeves on it. Yeah. You know what? With winter coming along, I had to take out the boots. I've got these beautiful Aldo boots that I purchased just like 2 weeks ago. And I thought that this would be the perfect occasion to actually wear that through with my nice tweed jacket as well. And, we're going for, like, skinny jeans and a nice beige T-shirt.
All right.
Great.
I think tweed is really trending.
Trending in the
tweed is trending.
So, guys, absolutely. Yes, it's beautiful. And I'm going to take a picture and actually tweet. And Francisca, please do, and Edgy, do not lie and do not send us the pictures of what you had last night. Please, let's keep it real. Let's keep it nice and tight. We love what we are and how we feel, and it's okay. However way we feel is the way. Yeah. So I want to just go straight into the matters at hand. Like I said, we want to talk about, how are our consumers actually consuming? And because of social commerce or e-commerce, or gosh, I even found F-commerce today, which is Facebook. No, seriously, so many commerce. I think there's going to be an FLA commerce soon. Edgy, you heard that? Fashion Lab Africa commerce. Meaning everything. Absolutely. And every way that you trade. And we've got the masters here in studio, so don't even laugh. We're actually talking about it, and then we hope we can actually follow through. So I want to talk about, obviously, Chris, you'll give us a bit of a background, and we'll just kind of split it between you and Bianca and Ridwan, who are Team FYI in the house. Thank you for joining us. With social networks increasingly looking at social commerce, giving consumers the opportunity to buy direct from brands, it's about time to understand how to convert today's browsers into tomorrow's buyers. Now, you guys with FYI Online, obviously, which has been in existence for what, about 2 years now?
Yeah, close to 2 years.
Let's talk about what you're doing. What gap is FYI Online fulfilling, especially within the fashion value chain? What are you bringing that we actually need? Because obviously, again, back to my yin-yang story.
Okay, basically what FYI fills the gap for is providing a platform for creative people. So the last time I was on the show, I did mention that that's how it was born. Like, I saw a fashion designer on the side of the road in Maboneng, and then he didn't know how Facebook worked, he didn't know how Twitter worked, he didn't know how e-commerce worked, F-commerce worked, nothing. So I was like, you know, there's definitely a gap to help creative people. But that being said, there's also a massive gap to help SMEs as well, small businesses. So they have the vision, but they do not have the understanding on how to get online and be relevant digitally, because different content appeals to different markets and different consumers. So for instance, it depends what you're marketing. So video might work, pictures might work, content might work. So it just depends what your market.
So, Bianca, what's your role? Before we go, I'd love to go to Francisca and Edgy, but before we move on, what is your role under FYI? And then I want to also find out what role you're playing with one, because I know that you wear a designer hat, but obviously we wear a few hats. Bianca, what are you doing with FYI?
So, FYI is, my role is to focus on the strategy or perspective of something. So when you execute a plan, we develop that plan for you. So you can't be everything to everyone. So what we do, we formalize that strategy plan for you, and we say, okay, how do you implement that on a monthly basis to create a return on investment through your marketing efforts? So whether that be digital, which is obviously our main focus, and then with that, we focus on the measurable results in marketing space. So that's what I bring to FYI.
So the strategies and the marketing behind it?
The development of the strategy. So we'll assess the client's needs essentially, and then say, okay, from that perspective, we look at geographical targeting, AdWords targeting, what that client needs, and how do we bring a solution, an integrated solution into their business.
Thank you. And then Ridwan, what are you doing within your, you know, what are you, how are you extending your offering into the FYI space?
Well, basically, I'm the creative director at FYI, and I've got about 10 years of experience under my belt. So what happens is Bianca basically provides a strategy, and then we turn that into creative, understanding basically what are the client's needs. And like you said, I wear many hats in the sense that I'm a creative in terms of digital space as well as the fashion space. And I think that it plays a quite a fluid role. So it was quite easy to be able to work between the brand that I have as well as the FYI online space, and then look at the fashion and how it's been transformed by technology as well, which I think is a really interesting topic we can look at as well.
And do you feel out of what you guys are doing so far with FYI and your involvement that the African market is actually ready for it? Because I said, and I had this conversation lightly, I think, with Chris yesterday, and I said, it's funny how people still want to treat the African consumer as if they're like the African consumer from 1984. It's a very, very different consumer quite often. And when you look at the development of very cool apps like what Linton's doing with his
One Cart,
I think that's very innovative. It's cool, but then there's space for 20,000 more, especially even those that just specifically focus just for the fashion consumer and the fashion products. Do you guys feel like Africa is actually ready? How willing is the fashion consumer in Africa willing to buy their fashion through social media?
I think they are ready. I think there's this perception that people are reluctant to share their credit card details and stuff, that personal information online. But I think so for me, I don't do online shopping per se, because There's a certain body type that I need to shop for. But if I was a standard size 6, I know I would be shopping online all the time. So I think we are ready. I think the rest of the world needs to give us the benefit of the doubt to say that it is something that's growing in South Africa.
And I think there's two parts to that question. It's like, as the end user, as a buyer, yes, I think we are ready. But as a small business or creative or fashion designer, you need to be ready. Your quality of your work, your footage, your video, your photography, your website, everything needs to be at an international standard, because when people are looking at it, then they're buying you online. As soon as they open up a website, that's you.
It's very interesting. Now, Francisca, I want to roll over to you. You operate in Lisbon working with some of the big and exclusive brands and fashion houses, including yourself. What's going on in the social commerce world or e-commerce world when it comes to the brands and the fashion houses around you?
Listen, in these days, I have the possibility to travel a lot between the European capitals of Europe, Paris, London, still European, Berlin, and Milano, and back to Lisbon. And I have the possibility to listen some voices and to ask people in the shops what is the perception of them about this digital market that is growing and growing. Well, I made some discoveries, news, but also arrived to a conclusion that I will tell you later. And I realized that there are different targets of end consumer. For instance, there is the oldest audience is starting from the 50s age, still prefer to touch and then buy, favoring so a sensory approach with every kind of purchase. Then there is a middle band that is the hugest, the largest, between the 35 and 50 years, that tend to divide by categories the products by online. And the things that they buy directly, and the things that they buy online. I would say that for fashion, we can divide in two different trends. One is the flagship store and made-to-measure, which is definitely a privileged and emotional shopping experience for the high and costumey segment. Made-to-measure is not still perceived as something accessible with acceptable performance. In the meantime, there is an online experience of purchases that is more dedicated to the segment of need or diversion that is a bit random. For instance, like a sneaker or something you need to go to the gym, or an article banned during interview session. Then, the most significant segment of market in terms of age is the younger generation that can access to the net, and then between the 18 and 35. And I would say that they are the most serene and confident consumers of online products.
Francisco, we are losing you a bit. We are losing you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, there we go.
Yes. There is a younger band of consumers that is between 18 years and 35th. I divided it so, but it, of course, it's flexible. That is the most serene and confident consumers target of online products, not just for fashion, but also for food, travels, etc.
The millennials.
Yes. These people. But listen, thank you for that insight. Edgy, when I was talking again, we were having this conversation because we also had a TV segment the other day with Chris and another very interesting, innovative, young, fresh guy. His name is Linton Peters. He's got this app as well that he's developed. And when we were talking, I was basically mentioning to them that you decided to delay your process when it comes to your Amazon store because of the fact that you felt like the virtual experience was not there. And until you got that, like, 101%, you kind of feel like, what's the point? So you kind of have rather delay your days on launching and get that experience right, then just say we are up, because people want more. People want that experience. Let's talk about it, Edgy, from your angle, especially when we look at stores like Amazon, which are really doing well. I think one of the biggest fashion platforms online now, I think. And the fact that you're also looking at putting in your brands that you actually manage and your whole online store on there, let's talk a bit about what you're doing and what you're also discovering, because again, technology is moving so quick that what we thought we wanted to do two months ago, you know, if you kind of put it on hold and want to come back to it and revisit it, there's a new thing. So let's talk about that from your end.
Well, sorry guys, what we found out when trying to open our store was that technology is shaping fashion. It's shaping the supply chain. It's reshaping the value chain in fashion. And we thought we could just open our store and go on Instagram, go on Facebook, and try to talk about it. But we found out that retailing on fashion, just because here everything has kind of recessed to virtual, you know, everything has, the big stores are closing, everything is going online. So there's so much infrastructure being created online just to create convenience for the customer technologies and fitting are improving. Just there's a big all around effort in creating an amazing experience for the consumer online. So you can't really just, it's so easy to fail if you can't compete the right way. So Before it was B2B, like I could sell my services to a designer and who will then sell it to the store. And so I'm working just designer, B2B really. And now we are like more B2C in a sense that I can go direct. If I was a, so I can go directly as a fashion supplier to the consumer, you know, through, you know, Instagram and all of these things. But now the technology in fashion commerce is actually changing. We think B2C is also dying, you know, even though it just is a new revolution, is a new way to go. But we see that it doesn't have longevity in the sense that fashion is now being bought through interactions, and these interactions are mostly on social media. So we think the way forward now is C2C, consumer to consumer. So we had to recalibrate our technology to change the way we felt was the way we felt that this was relevant and this was not. And we had to change all of that. Now we are focusing purely on technology that allows our product to interact consumer to consumer. Like we probably have no role anymore in directing the consumer to our store more than the consumer directing her friends to the store.
Yeah.
So those are the revelations that we are finding, and fashion tech and there's so much IT, so much technology driving this, you know, driving this supply chain and these value chains.
Wow, I'm so kind of just injected a lot of information in there.
That's the truth. Like if you look at the entire Kardashian brand and stuff like that, you'll see.
Okay, so one at a time. Let's start with the lady, Francisca. You can make there, and then Chris, you can come with your feedback.
Sorry. don't you think that is this kind of this process, as you described it, is a kind of a transition step between one generation that didn't know anything and now is living the amazing aspect of this technology, and up to a new generation that already was born with all this, traveling by plane and using the internet to contact friends, school friends. So don't you think it is a transition step?
I think that there's something we have to remember in fashion, that the one thing that is really affecting buying and selling generally, is that people have been able to sell convenience very well in developed economies. So if you match convenience with fits that work, if you match technology in fitting, technology in previewing a gown you want to dress, let's say there's technology that exists that when you touch it, you can preview the dress. It can even come in your skin tone. I mean, you can actually take images of yourself to preview the dress, and you can see it matches your skin tone. So when you match all of these things with the fact that you can just sit in your sofa and get the dress, I think that's a major change. Those are cataclysmic in the way that they change the way you feel about buying.
Yeah. You know? Edgy, I think e-commerce was only the very first stage in this exciting, innovative journey of convenience. We've got AR and VR technology becoming mainstream. You would soon be able to have your very own digital stylist that would be able to suggest outfits based on seasonal or present-day climate conditions. So basically, that information would be accessed from the local weather bureau and fed to the app in order to make a calculated decision on what you should wear. I mean, augmented reality will offer patrons visiting the boutique the opportunity to step into a change room, look into a mirror, and view themselves in a bespoke suit, a couture gown, without even having to try it on, with the option of posting to social media if they require the opinions of friends and family before making that actual purchase. So technology has definitely expanded, and it's grown to such a point where, like we were speaking about the millennials, I mean, these guys are influenced by influential individuals abroad here, and they make their decisions online, you know, or through social media.
Yeah, and like I wanted to say, like the entire Kardashian brand is built upon customer to customer. So if somebody sees that Kim or Kylie or Kendall are using a certain type of lipstick, they don't look at them as the manufacturer. They don't look at them as the business. They look at them as, oh, I've been following this person for the last 3 years, so if they wear this lipstick, I'm going to buy it. So it doesn't even matter about convenience, because I know people that have placed their orders through New York for like a lip kit that Kylie made, and they would wait for it like 2 or 3 months and be okay with that.
Wow. Guys, so we are saying that it's now a C2C. It's no longer, it's the consumer selling to the consumer.
That's where we have the rise of influencers.
Yes.
There's a lot of influencers. Like, people would get a free membership or a free Louis Vuitton bag or a free car even, as long as they post a picture on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah, people are trying to become their own brand ambassadors. And people are buying from people. That's what it's about.
It's amazing.
And even to go micro on that, right? Even to go micro with the C2C, you know, fashion has this intimidating element, and it's beginning to crop into this C2C thing where if Kylie Jenner is wearing it, some people already feel intimidated. Oh my God, you know? So I can afford it. She's this and that. So the same intimidations you have before when you see a Vogue outfit and say, oh, that's not for my body, is beginning to creep into the influencers sphere right now. So what marketers are doing is kind of try to use people less influential just to avoid being intimidated, because they know that C2C is where it is, you know.
Unbelievable. And that's why you've got this blog as well. I don't know what we're going to call them. That's going to be another topic for another day again.
They call
because
them,
yeah, because now everyone's a blogger. Now they're looking for new words because everybody can take 3 pictures, post that, and just keep doing it every day. But you'll be surprised how many people actually follow. I'm actually very surprised. When I look at followings of people like Folake for Style Pantry Edgy, I think that it's just shocking. She's now got like, she'll put up a picture now, she's got like 10,000 likes on Instagram of just a picture and her in the red pants and the blue top, and where to buy, link on bio, finished. It's a wrap.
Sold out.
And it's and she's not like, it's not like a name like you mentioned, like the K's. It's not the K's. Mm-hmm. It's so many people doing this and actually just selling. I'm actually.
You can see why.
Yeah, but I mean.
Look at the comfort zones.
So I have a question now, Edgy. For you, from me. This is now coming straight from Liz. You know, I've always thought in my head, I'm like, if I put up my picture with me wearing something, which you rarely see me, you will never see me saying, here is my dress, see me, it's going for $650, and then you see link on bio, and then you see people buy. Sorry, somebody's making, something's making noise on either your side, Edgy, or Francisca's side.
Not mine. No.
Okay. So.
Sorry, I missed the your voice, Liz.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the end of your question.
So what I'm saying is, when Edgy says it's the regular person, the reason I'm saying this is because I feel like I'm even if I thought about putting my picture up and saying, here's my little checker thing, it's going for $650, here, find. I feel like there'll be no one who's going to want to find it, because they'll be looking at me like, this crazy girl, we can't.
Who is, like, she, essentially?
Not even who is she, because they're not who she is, are actually doing this and selling and cleaning out. There's something about the regular girl next door that somehow I don't fall into that box. So I'm even scared. I'm like, I'm not going to. I will not. Catch me dead to say, here it is, and find that. And then people, 3 people will be liking it, and then 2 will be like, gosh, we can't wear that.
I think it's complete aspiration. So if you live a life that someone wants, they literally buy a piece of you. It's not really buying what you, it's buying a piece of you. So they have a piece of you with them.
But how come it's the people, the no names, are the ones who are actually doing the best?
I think it's because they're relatable. It's the people can actually watch what an average person is doing. Someone who doesn't have a brand label attached to them. Someone who is so relatable that they can put on something, take a really nice high-res picture, a quality picture with signifying some sort of extravagant lifestyle or day-to-day lifestyle, and people then once again buy into what the Chris lifestyle. Was saying, the lifestyle, and then you go, as an average individual of society, I too can aspire to have this if I were to wear that kind of jewelry or clothing or whatever it might be.
Then maybe I've just got bad luck, because I just have a feeling I'm not aspirational enough, or I'm not regular. I'm not the girl next door enough.
I feel you need to hire a company like FYI online.
Liz, can I tell you something?
Sure.
In my calculation, if I lived in South Africa, if I lived in Johannesburg, I wouldn't have you wear my stuff. Because, but let me tell you why though. This is cost C2C thinking though. If you wear it, there are very few people. Everybody who looks at you is aspirational but can't really afford it, right? But if I put it on someone else who is more, like they feel like, oh, that's some guy, that's some lady on the street. Oh my God, she looks good on it. Of course, I'll sell more. You know?
So you know, you have a point, and it's a sad point, but that's what I'm saying is that I'm the girl next door. Come on. But then, no, listen. And I want to do the same too, because like, I'm like, you don't understand. I'm so happy to adapt to this technology and to move on with whatever it is I need to do to be able to push my brand to the next level. Like anybody, not like anybody else. Actually, I'm very free spirit. I take the biggest risks. I'm actually one of the biggest risk takers in my space, in my game. My problem is, like I said, I am the girl next door, but it's already like an X. I feel like if I had an online survey and there was 5 girls, I'd probably get 0, or they'd give me like 2%, or they'd give me like 5. But so it feels like it's intimidating for me, because I also feel like people say I'm intimidating, and I say no, it's intimidating back, because when we walk into a space and want to fit in, we're kind of looked at like, who's that girl there? No. So when we want to do things collectively, like I want to do the same thing and even maybe do it better than the girl next door, whoever it is, Alice, who's got like, every time she puts a stupid picture up, it's actually quite stupid. And then she gets all of this 100 hits, a million hits, and then like link on bio, and then you hear this stuff sold out. Have you seen those where stuff just even sold out? The red blouse is no longer available.
Believe it or not, though, it's not just that simple. I've watched this documentary about Instagrammers and how they go about actually posing for the images. It's not just that one great smile, take a picture, hashtag it.
There's like 500 images before you get that one.
And everything
That's
is
rubbish.
And everything is
That's
placed.
Rubbish.
In order to sell this brand that they're creating, independent brand that they're creating for themselves, they actually place all the elements together, make sure that the pot plant, like for instance in this room, is placed in a certain area, and they're taking it from a certain angle, and they're shooting in front of it to give it some dynamic quality about the image, and then they're posting it on. So it actually does take time in order to be able to sell this lifestyle that they are portraying. Some of them can, some of them cannot portray this, but and it might not be a true reflection of themselves, but in the digital space, they can be whoever the hell they want
to be. So now, guys, I want to challenge us, because we're sitting here in Joburg, the four of us. Edgy is sitting in New York. Francisca is sitting in Portugal, in Lisbon. When we say there's an, first of all, let's just say, who's the regular girl? Because the regular girl, according to Chris and his network, or according to Bianca and her network, or according to Ridwan, who's that regular girl? And then when you say image is strong, what, there's nothing like 500, we don't do that 500 pictures to get one anymore. You do one good picture or two and take one and go. In fact, take one good one and let's move. So it's not, I refuse to agree that it's about, there's nothing like, oh, it was supposed to be like this, and your head should touch the thing, and then your nail, the second nail should kind of touch the black corner, and then that's like a money shot that should get you like a million hits on Instagram. That's a joke. I feel like what I want to hear from you guys is, who is that what is it? Because your network, Bianca, is not my network.
No, of course
not. And the girl who wants to wear what Bianca's wearing may not want to wear what Liz is wearing, and vice versa. And even their style aesthetic may be different. Their personalities, who they are in life, how they want to be perceived, how they... everything could be so different. We're not talking about one person. So someone please help. Edgy, Francisca, the house. What is that
I
one
think
thing?
It's relatable. I mean, like I think being able to be related to is important. And also it depends on your environment, you know. But... from a marketing sense, I would like my regular girl to be in the 100, in the 90, in the not the 1 percentile, you know, like somewhere in the among the 99%, you know, someone that people, when they look at from the street, feel like, oh wow, she looks good in that. I just saw her. She's my next door neighbor.
But who is that? Because I promise you, Edgy, there's one thing I'm trying to understand from you guys. The girl, the regular girl, is to you is the regular girl, not to everyone. And the regular Absolutely. Girl that you feel is the like edgy. When you have a campaign to run and you decide this is your girl and this is the look of the girl that you're going for. If you think about a Kylie is not a regular girl, but guess what? She can sell 1,000, 1,000,000 lipsticks in a day if she wants.
Yeah.
But then you look at Kim. Those are not regular. In fact, the K's are not regular girls.
No, not
they're not your regular girls next door. And even when you say aspirational, I'll say for me, Naomi is aspirational. Iman, maybe different again, but I'm also there's also regular girls within that category, but then that's a whole different girl. Francisca is sitting in Lisbon. Francisca, which type of woman do you, if you had a product to launch today, when you say regular, who's, what does she look like? What's her body size? What's her skin complexion? How long or short is her hair? There is no one regular girl.
No.
No.
Listen, in this moment, it is very difficult to define a regular consumer because you can sell a lot of items to the same person for different with different aims or with different objectives. So this explains in your question there is the answer of the new trend of the shirts. That are coming, that are always banned in the everybody's computer, I guess, not only mine, with phrases, with sentences. But as a fashion piece, they are t-shirts, simply. They have written a concept on them, but they don't. They haven't any. They haven't any fashion concept. You understand
So what you're saying is anything goes. Anything goes.
I think not that anything goes. It's that nothing works if it's not a basic. In this moment, it's a period of transition. It's a period of a very strong transformation. Then I think that what is basic, it works if shown in an intelligent, communicated in an intelligent way, in a smart way.
But that's why, Francisca, I said anything works. If the girl who's that next door girl blogger has, like, say, 1,000,000 followers on Instagram, and she can post a look from her swimwear at the beach, meaning it's not like there's a style aesthetic that's blocked to her. Every day she sends, puts out something. Mm-hmm. And one can be she's at the beach or it's a swim thing. Another one could be that she's actually going into a meeting. No, she's not even going to a meeting because she doesn't even go to meetings. Actually, she doesn't even know about meetings. She is just wearing something different every day, but it's not defined when it comes to, we can say this is a trend that is actually the reason she's selling. And then she's got all these different things happening, so you can't put your finger in one. It means maybe people just like the girl, actually, because it's no longer the dress. But then it could be beyond that.
It depends a lot.
Maybe it's the way that she grades her pictures or her fashion story through how she shoots that's got this maybe really interesting sort of vintage boho attached to it that just makes the picture. Or maybe it's the way she frames... Guys, okay, I feel like
I kind of picked up a trend, to be honest with you, on social media and digital media, things that just go viral. It's humor. As soon as you find someone that is comedic or have some sort of personality, there's this guy, I'm not even sure his name, he won like a lot of money in casinos, or his father built casinos, and his name is Dan something.
Dan Bilzerian.
Yeah, and he's on Instagram, and his lifestyle is completely tigers and boats and yachts and guns and women and whatever, and he's been in the public eye for forever, and he has a massive Instagram following, and I don't think people can even get to that lifestyle, but they follow him because of his personality.
So he's aspirational for the regular person.
For the regular person.
There's an aspect of your personality that wants to
be like him.
Can I tell you guys what we decided to do just briefly?
Sure.
Because we couldn't answer this question, right? We just really couldn't answer this question.
This is the truth.
So we hired a company called Mespoke, and what they're doing for us is they're putting their app on our website. For everybody who buys something from us, we incentivize them to send us a picture. So we think in about a year or in about 6 months, we'll have this huge data of images of people who bought our stuff that can relate to each other, because every time they tag their foot, they tag themselves and they meet themselves socially, they can easily tell, oh, what is he wearing? And if they tag a picture of each other, they can see whether they are wearing our stuff. It's just the way we're trying to find who is our average who's our average client, our average customer.
So you guys
customer.
Are trying to create a community, basically.
Yes, that's what we're focusing on. Yeah.
Guys, you know what? We've sat here and talked, and we, like I said, we've got questions that we cannot answer. But the truth of the matter is, I love the fact that, you know, FYI is here to stay, and obviously you're growing. Chris, what's your outreach right now? Like, you guys started a while back, and like I said, sometimes you give me numbers and I laugh, but then it's true.
We recently partnered up with a new company, I can't say who. They have about, I could say, 47 million email addresses and SMSs at the disposal. Then we have another company that we're dealing with about the same figures. So right now, if we send out a bulk email, we could send about to 100 million people.
My word.
So, but that's just because of, I think it's so true, and I hear you say this a lot, your network is your net worth.
True.
So a lot of these influencers are making a lot of money because of their network, and it's their net worth, and that's how they're selling these things.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah, it's all tied back to your data and how you utilize your database.
Because if you look at SEO integration, which is Google, it's people looking for something. Everyone's searching for information, and SMO is a social media. It's social media optimization. So those two things, it's... On social media, things come looking for you. Like on Facebook, you'll just see things popping up, articles here and there. On Google, you go and find something. So we're always searching for data.
It's a different approach.
And tell me, guys, before we say goodbye, before we have our glass of wine and then go home, how can a fashion brand, especially here in the continent, tap onto your network or collaborate with FYI or find a way to connect with FYI to actually leverage their brand even higher? Because obviously, I first of all have to commend you for the fact that we're dealing or you're playing in a world or in a game where there's like a million other platforms also setting up.
Yeah.
You obviously have to come with a really, our friend Nadima calls it the differentiating factor. What is it? The ID. The irresistible differentiator. So whatever it is that's your ID that's is making you really stand out, because obviously there's so many options and so many platforms. If somebody wants to sit and say, okay, fine, let me plug into
something. Why choose me?
Yeah. Why choose you? How can an African brand or fashion designer, and I say this because African brands and fashion designers are smaller parts of the fashion business when you look at the whole entire value chain.
Yeah.
But then they're here and they want to grow and we want to evolve. But we also have to know what else is in the market that we can actually jump onto and how. Mm-hmm. What can you share? What can you? What's your advice? Or how can we connect with FYI, and what value would it actually add?
If you want to connect with us, you can email info@fyionline.co.za. Contact us through any social media platform as well. But when we take on a new client, Bianca goes in and she does. See, the strategy is not just what you need to do. It's looking at your prehistoric history of what you've done before. It's also looking at what you're doing right now. And then we're also doing a competitive analysis to say, okay, so we have Liz's brand, we have X's brand, we've got Joe's brand, we've got all of these other people's brands, and they're competing within your space. So what can you do differently to propel yourself above them? So that strategy is so important. In life, even, you need to know where you're coming from, where you're going. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do, and we use facts and figures in order to do that. And then once we have a plan in place for you, we roll it out.
What's the website?
www.fyionline.co.za.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. And then, Francisca, what are your parting shots on this topic? From the fact that you're coming from a different side, obviously, and like I said, my... excitement around having you and Edgy on the show every week is to be able to also just kind of find out what's happening in your side of the world. Because even for us to compete as an industry here in Africa, we have to be aware of what's happening globally. And because globalization is eating us up nicely, then, you know, we just have to appreciate what's happening, compare notes, and really, you know, look at the world. I'm very excited, actually, to see what's happening and what they bring out of this World Economic Forum that's happening in Durban now. And some of the conversations that are going on is the fact that, you know, you've got Mauritius as the top, at the fastest growing country mm-hmm. in this sure. Africa. Yeah. But listen, I don't want to diverge, but we will talk about it more next week once we get all these reports. But Francisca, what's your two cents and what's your parting shot on this topic?
I guess that the essential thing is to have a huge network, personal network, and a huge network, and to know as most as possible the consumers, friends, consumers that in the end they are also friends, because we know them. I personally, I know them so strictly that it's easy to guess the extra things they are going to wear.
Thank you.
So I guess that at least here in Europe, I guess that within the bloggers and the, how I would say traditional, but it's not like this, but it's traditional, the first time, the first keys of entrance with the fashion, digital fashion world, I would say that it's essential to have a personal network. Absolutely.
Thank you very much, and thank you so much for your insight. And Edgy, your parting shots before we before we drink wine.
it's just digital is important. I think for designers across Africa, we have to understand that digital is shaping the way our buyers are funneled to us.
Well, thank you so much, guys. We are going straight into who would you want to dress and why, and we're going to quickly start with. We'll start with Chris.
Oh my God!
Because he's waving his hand. No, who do you want to dress and why? We're doing it all. We all do it. No one's exempt.
I would dress Liz.
Okay. And why?
I don't know, because I just feel like just introduce you to some maybe Indian fashion.
You want to dress me to introduce me to Indian fashion?
Yeah, maybe take you and, you know, like show you some Indian community.
I know, and I love it, and I might just not
you
leave.
Love the
so
food.
You better be careful what you wish for. And then Bianca, who would you want to dress and why, given the opportunity?
I think I'd dress someone like Jessica Biel. I think she's my next door. She's the girl next door for me. She's got a natural beauty, good curves. So that's someone I would aspire to dress as.
Fantastic. Ridwan, who would you want to dress and why?
Okay, as a creative, I think I'm going to have to go with Zayn Malik, because I think the tattoos and the bad boy kind of vibe, it works, because I could really throw in some really cool contemporary kind of vibes with a bespoke jacket, something very contemporary, throw in a pair of boots. Yeah, I like that kind of style, and I think you could do a lot with his hair, and the tattoos really work with that kind of vibe. So, yeah, that would be my choice today.
Wow. Edgy, who would you want to dress and why?
I'm staying home with Liz.
You can't dress me again, Edgy. How many times can you dress me? I've already been dressed by Chris. Okay, okay, Francisca.
I know she's been dressed. I'm just providing an alternative.
Okay, Francisca, who would you want to dress and why?
I'm going. No, I wanna, and I'm going to dress the Sofia Fernandez, that is a local journalist, a national journalist, that is appearing on the red carpet of the next Golden Globes gala. So I will dress her.
Very nice. Today I want to dress Gareth Cliff, because I have seen him in his t-shirt and jeans for way too long. And I'm just saying, Gareth, please, if you hear me, please, my dear, come to me. Let me zhuzh you up and put you in something else. I really think a nice, beautiful three-piece bespoke, well-tailored suit would do him justice. So that's what I want to bring to him, live and direct. Otherwise, for those who are tuned in, thank you so much for joining us. FYI, everyone in the house, thank you for joining us. And until next week, peace and love. CliffCentral.com.